Livewire with Jeff Dorset.
With Illusion from June of 1973. Now, I'll tell you what, every time I see a reality TV show and they go overboard and they say to the artist, oh, you're so young, you're only 16. Well, what about this? When this guy was 14, he was in the Gaylords. By 1966, they were Marmalade. And I always recall this left-handed guitar style that he had when he was playing with his strings upside down. But I'll tell you what, he's got a voice to match. Junior Campbell, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Jeff. I'm very well. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. I'll tell you what, your songs have always been so distinctive. I mean, if you think of the difference between Rainbow and Reflections of My Life, I mean, that should have been a number one record, by the way. And I noticed on Facebook, because we seem to be on the same pages as well, how many people have somehow heard it again recently and said, why, oh, why did that not make number one?
Well, you know, this, for all of us, in life in general, it's easy to be wise after the event. And looking back, you think, well, yeah, I mean, I'm proud of it. You know, basically, it was my song. Dean wrote some of the lyric of it. But it was, I've got great fondness for it. It's one of my, you're not supposed to have favourite children, but all my songs are my babies.
And, of course.
And that's one of them.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, at the time, when we'd finished it, we were ready to go right on the back of Reflections of My Life. A big record to follow, and at the 11th hour, I got the Skiddy Widdles.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't too sure about it. And Dean, he was friendly at the time with Terry Sylvester, who was with the Hollies.
Yeah. And that, also with the Escorts when he was younger.
Correct. That's where I remember Terry from, the very early days, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had some drinks one night, and just at that time, and Dean played him an acetate. Do you remember the old acetates?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And played it and just said, and Terry said, "You're crazy. Of course it will be a hit." And he was right. But, you know, listen, you can't be greedy. A number three record, I think it sold, all told at the time, probably about 400,000 copies, which was a lot of records, even by them days. And since, it's notched up, you know, pretty much well over, in fact, I think it's close to about 2 million now.
Lovely. I'll tell you what, 400,000, it would be number one in the UK 10 times over in today's terms. I'll tell you what, who were some of the best that you toured with in that sort of period, 66 through to 71, Junior?
Well,
who do you remember? Who were the people who sort of stood out in your mind and you thought, wow, that is really
an artist? There's the obvious, you know, the big liners, the main people that everybody knows, which I'll discuss in a minute. But in the very early days, we played with the Alan Bounds Set, who were a fantastic band, and we actually thought they would be huge, but they never could. Jess Roden was a singer,
mm-hmm.
and they never quite cracked it. There was loads of groups. The Ivies, who eventually became Badfinger, I really flew the flag for them with our management. We always liked them. And there was, at the time, I know this probably sounds like Victor Meldrew, and it's not the same now. In our day, it was much bloody better.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then everybody seemed to be able to play. You know, they'd get up and they'd do their set, 50 minutes or an hour, and then, you know, go away for half an hour, come back and do the same again. So there were just so many. But when we did get those commercial success, because we were really well known throughout the whole of the UK and the club circuit, but when we did get the big sort of commercial success, of course, we then toured with the headliners, people like The Who, Joe Cocker, Gene Pitney, Traffic, The Herd, The Trends, and all of them. I mean, The Who were fantastic on stage. They were just mind-blowing. They were just so good. Keith Moon's actually one of the funniest and nicest men I've ever met in my life.
Mm.
And they were really big at the time. I don't think we'd even had a hit. I think we had I See the Rain out. But we toured, and he was so nice. So was Roger. They all were. But Keith was one of these people, he would never forget a name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter who it was. He would always remember a name, and he was such a great guy. Gene Pitney, I became very friendly with. He was a consummate artist. I've never seen anyone hold an audience in the palm of her hand like he could.
Yeah, by the way, Simon Dupree said you should never play poker with Gene Pitney. Apparently he was red hot.
No. That's what everyone used to say until Gene Pitney played poker with Junior Campbell. And Gene was more than 24 hours from Tulsa, I promise you that.
Lost everything, yeah. Now, when you went solo, you were on DRAM, weren't you?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, what a good label that was. Of course, Colin Blunstone's been on the show 4 times.
Yeah.
And when he did, as you know, a solo version of She's Not There, he did it under the name Neil MacArthur, for goodness knows what. But DRAM, when you think about the people that passed through on that label, that was a really good label to be with.
Yeah, I mean, it was a specialist. I mean, the word they would use now for it is, it was a very cool label.
You know,
it was a sort of where, and in fact, Marmalade, we'd signed to Decca, and the main Decca home records, as it were.
Sure.
And when I said that I wanted to leave the band, I was sort of under contract to the band, which wasn't a problem because we relinquished it, but we were also under contract to Decca, and they said, listen, we don't want you to go, we want you to do some things on your own, and we'll slide you over to the DRAM label just to take away the association. And it was, you know, it was the same, exactly the same workhouse, but it was just a different label. And you're correct, there are some terrific acts on it.
That's right. I mean, one of the things as well that I noticed, you must have been really sort of driven by production and arrangements because, you know, that was a certain thing that you went into later on. But I think every time you were in the studio and maybe somebody else was producing you, that you're thinking to yourself, I want to do that one day. And of course, you've got the opportunity to do it several times. We were at the Wickham Festival last year and Barbara Dixon was there.
Mm.
And, of course, you produced, didn't you, her first hit, which was Answer Me.
Absolutely, and the first hit album.
Yeah.
Of the same title. Yeah.
What a nice lady.
Well, Barbara's lovely. And, again, you know, she's a consummate artist. You know, I don't think any of the recordings I ever did with Barbara lasted any longer than about you know, twice through, if that. Because, like, Anthony, for example, was just the basic rhythm section. She was singing, playing the piano. I scored a orchestra of sort of strings and some woodwind, and we did it more or less live. And I think we added a couple of backing vocals, and that was it. So she's like one of the... She isn't old, but she's like one of the old artists.
More senior.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. My colleague Adrian's here. He's always got questions to ask
Hi,
as well.
Junior.
Hi, Adrian.
How you doing, mate? All right.
No, not bad at all.
Good
is
man.
It a good one or is it a naughty one?
No, it's a good one. It's a good one. I'm just going to ask you to bring us up to date on what you're working on at the moment, and I see obviously you've done a lot of film scores as well, which I you know obviously remember looking at, you know, that Summer White of Roses and Taking Over the Asylum, that sort of thing. So what are you doing now?
I'm not unashamed or ashamed to tell you that I'm living in more or less retirement, pretty disgustingly. You know, I'm enjoying it. You know,
good
we're.
Stuff.
We, you know, to be honest with you, I got to the stage about 4 or 5 years ago where the whole thing had changed, and I don't really have the hunger any longer, certainly not for performing,
no.
Which I never did because I never really cared for it, apart from the fact when I was a young boy. But in terms of production and film scores and everything else, the whole map of everything changed quite, you know, just off the radar, because in the old days, they would spend a lot of money and you know, film scores and television drama scores, they would do. But then when the cuts started and money gets tight, you know, they can get a kid who's got, you know, a couple of grand's worth of gear in his bedroom to, I don't mean to be rude, but they can lean against the keyboard for an hour and the lad at his mid-music for a film. So the old, I mean, the stuff I did, I did for the BBC, which was fantastic to be able to work within that corporation, because they really took care of me. I had the BBC Radio Orchestra and just access to anything you want. So it's nowadays I'm pretty much the Marmalade are one of the very few bands, if probably the only band I know that actually still own the master rights and the recordings. So I take care of everything on behalf of the boys, and we license the stuff worldwide, so that keeps me pretty busy.
Brilliant. No, I mean, and you know, going back to what was said earlier, I mean, I remember as a youngster, Reflections was just one of the finest songs ever. I mean, for me, it still is, you know.
Thank you so much.
It's without doubt one of my Desert Island Disc 10s, I'll tell you that for sure. It's a great song.
It's very humbling to hear that. And you have no idea how many people say that.
No.
And there's all these connotations that it was written about Vietnam and it was written for this and that, but it wasn't. It was written out of blind panic because we had just been poached from CBS Records, that is the Marmalade, over to Decca.
Yeah.
And we had to record something. And we had a couple of songs that people had submitted, I think a Roger Greenaway, Roger Cook song, I don't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they paid a lot of money for us. And and it was more or less on me because I was going to be the producer as well.
Yeah.
So I just retired one night, and it's a true story. In my flat in Finchley, I retired to my little back room with my acoustic guitar, a nice bottle of Famous Grouse whiskey, and never came out. And
Brilliant.
I think Reflections arrived in about, promise you, in about 10 minutes.
He
wrote the, you know, some of the really salient verse lyrics, but that was it. But thank you so much.
It's great, super stuff, and it's a pleasure to talk to you, Julian.
Thank you.
It really is, and thank you very much.
Well, give us a question, Aid. You know, what song are we going to finish with?
Well, if you don't play Reflections now, I'll kick you around the room.
I understand that. Yeah, that's what our listeners want to hear as well. Junior Campbell, look, great talking
song.
To you.
Take
okay.
care.
Sound the line as we give you the song that should have made number one. This is Reflections of My Life.
Reflections of my life.
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media.